shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they
can't.
That's right. But we go there, and tonight we are going to have Ted Bell with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Margaret Gray is going to be joining him, and we'll be talking about this week's news. What's going to be happening out there is I want to have a talk with him about that. Ted is a sponsor of ours. We might as well get Mr. Bell up from Ted's of Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills, California. He is a sponsor of ours, and let's talk
Ted's
about this.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
And come down here tonight, ladies and gentlemen, from Ted's of Beverly Hills. We have a hoodie-a-thon going on, and we'd like you to check out the Phil Hendry website as we sell the Ted Bell hoodie. Phil, we'd like people to be aware of the fact that we have the hoodie and that we are selling the hoodie and that it is in view of recent events and in view of the news, I think it's something that in solidarity people can purchase the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. And I can see that you're wearing one tonight on the video cast.
Well, I am wearing the hoodie, but I wanted to ask you something, and Margaret Gray is there, correct?
Margaret's going to be here in just a few minutes, yeah.
I wanted to ask you this. I didn't know. I knew that we were going. I know that we're pushing the hoodie, and it's a great product. We've had it in our shop for the last few months.
We have, and it has sold very well. And the reason why I'm bringing up the hoodie now, though, is in light of, and I'm not going to mention any specific news story, because I don't want it to be seen as if we are taking advantage of any specific news story. I would just simply say that in light of recent events, we would suggest that people go over to the Phil Hendry Show shop and pick up one of the hoodies. And
all right, if we don't want to, can I interrupt and just ask something?
Clearly.
If we don't want to highlight any particular event, then why even mention that?
Why mention the what?
When you say, in light of recent events, why don't you go to the Phil Hendry Show? Here's the problem I have.
No, I don't have to say that, but I don't need to say that. I just want people to know that Ted Bell, that I have been selling the Ted Bell hoodie for the last few months in the Phil Hendry Shop.
That is correct, yeah.
Okay. And I want people to know that. And
well, we've been promoting it, and the hoodie is a big seller. We've sold out a couple of sizes already. We've had to do a couple of reorders, so it's a very big and popular seller because people like your restaurant, Ted, and people like your the logo.
Right, but I think we in light of recent events, and I'm not taking advantage of anything. See, well, here's what I want to say. Okay, what is that? I want to say that we're not trying to take advantage of people's feelings. We're not looking to manipulate people's feelings. I wanted to have a hoodie-a-thon because I think it's a great Friday night, kind of product, a great Friday night kind of an event here from the restaurant. Margaret's going to come in and sing one of her songs, and we'll get the audience involved in the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, because people's minds are on it.
And all right, but again, there you are talking about people. Well,
at some point, we've got to just get on with the show and not talk about.
I would like to do that, but you've brought it up a couple of times, and I want to just make it very clear here that I don't want anything to be I don't want it perceived that we're taking advantage of a very sad situation to sell hoodies.
Well, the only guy that's mentioned it is you, Phil. And
no, you said in light of recent events.
No, I said in light of recent events. I didn't say taking advantage. I didn't see taking advantage. Well, I got to.
You didn't say.
I didn't say taking advantage of recent events. I didn't say. Yes, I did say that, but I didn't see. Why can't I say that word?
I don't know. Are you having? I hope you're not having one of those.
One of those migraines. Give me a glass of water, will you?
You all right, Ted?
Yeah, I'm fine. I just can't seem to say the word. There, I said say. That's what I want to say. I can't I don't want to say tragic. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, all right. Our number, by the way, folks, is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. We've been selling the hoodie in the shop, the Phil Henry website shop, for a couple of months now. So the winter months and the cold weather that affects most of the country is one of the reasons why we have that particular kind of a piece of apparel in our shop. When the summertime arrives, we're going to have other things. And now we have recent events. I did not really want to tie this in with that at all because I don't think that it's right. I think it's commercializing it.
Hold on, Phil. You know, you can't talk about me as if I'm not being here, as if I'm not here. I'm not commercializing anything, and I want to make it very clear to your audience, very clear. I'm not commercializing or taking advantage of any tragic event that may have happened recently that may have involved this kind of clothing. I'm simply saying that the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie is in your shop, and we'd like people to go over, take a look at it if you'd like to buy it in solidarity with it. I won't say what it is. I'm not going to mention the news story.
How can you say in solidarity? With what, then?
I'm saying just in solidarity. With?
With what?
With, I'm not going to say what it is. But I wish we could get on the same page here, Phil, because we have an hour of radio to do together, and I want it to work, and I don't want to argue.
I don't want to argue either. I just want to be very clear. We're selling the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. It's got nothing to do with anything else.
It has absolutely nothing to do with anything else. I don't think it's fair of you to tell me that I can't speak a certain way.
Ted, I haven't told you to do anything. All I'm doing is giving my opinion.
Well, you've also intimated that I can't talk certain words. You're saying that I can't talk certain words. And
I haven't said you can't talk certain words.
Well, if you, those certain words that you won't, you would disapprove of me saying, if you put them together, it would come out in solidarity with the recent news events in Florida. But you won't let me say that. And
you, as I said, you can say anything you want, as you just did. I'm just saying I'm worried about the perception.
The perception, Phil, is going to be fine. I'm Ted Bell. People have eaten in my restaurant. They know who I am. I've always had and engendered goodwill for the community. I think people enjoy what we do at Ted's of Beverly Hills. I've got a sterling, crystal clear reputation with everyone in your audience. And if I say buy a Ted's of Beverly Hills hooded sweatshirt in solidarity with certain events, which I won't go into, people will respect me. And I believe that in order to help with that solidarity, whatever it may be, they will go and buy a Ted's of Beverly Hills hooded sweatshirt. But I'm not going to commercially take advantage of the situation, no.
Well, may I say that you've done all but take advantage of it. And
what are you talking about now?
Because you've said everything other than what the thing is that we're all supposed to be in solidarity over. And so, therefore, I think you've...
Hold on for a minute. Margaret Gray is... Margaret? Phil, hi.
Margaret, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. We have a wonderful song picked out for the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. And I don't know if you want me to do it before the break or after the break.
Well, we can do it after the break if you want.
Well, it is a song that is about apparel. And I thought it would be very, very appropriate if I sang a song about apparel. And I'll give you a little a hint, Ted.
Go ahead.
You can leave your boot, doo 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 doo. Do you recognize it?
I think I do, yeah.
All right.
I don't.
You don't?
No, I don't.
You don't do it?
What, you got a tin ear? I don't understand.
Oh, I don't have a tin ear. I didn't...
You can leave your on.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. You can leave your hat on.
Oh, for God.
What are you doing?
Why'd you do that, Phil?
I didn't know you didn't want me to say it. I apologize.
No, that's why I said you can leave your blank on. I didn't let you to say the word.
I apologize. We'll take a break. We'll be back here with Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills, along with Margaret Gray from Santa Monica, California, as we continue here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. David G. Hall is also going to check in. We are selling hoodies tonight. the problem I have is that I'm afraid it might be commercializing something that shouldn't be commercialized. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Put the restaurant on hold, please. 877-876-7445. As Ted Bell tonight rolls out attempts to make a few dollars, I think it's a bad time to be selling hoodies. And I don't think, and I'm being very honest, I don't think anybody is going to believe that if you're selling hoodies now, no one's going to believe that you don't mean to commercialize something. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Ted, you there?
Well, I just heard a lot of music.
No, you're on the air.
Oh, well, we're on the air at Ted's in Beverly Hills.
I just heard you say GD or something. I heard that, bud.
What?
I just heard a GD. Did you dump that?
I'm afraid I didn't.
What didn't happen?
Well, because you said it.
I didn't know we were on the air. You told me to get ready, and the next thing I heard was a song being... I heard music.
Yeah, I had the music on by mistake.
Well, that's not my problem.
No, you're right. It is not your problem. But nonetheless, when you have a live mic...
Well, I didn't know. I knew the mic was live. I didn't know it was on the air.
Well, a live mic could be on the air, and you didn't dump it, huh?
No.
All right. Well, okay, great. 877-876-PHIL.
So in other words, I just want to be clear. The audience, the people listening to the program now, heard me say, take the Lord's name in vain.
Yes, they did.
Well, I want to apologize to everyone listening.
Roll the tape back, bud.
Don't play it again.
No, I just want to make sure.
But let me just say to everyone listening, I am deeply sorry. I've always... had a battle with myself and the language that I use. I've always tried to be much, much better, and I apologize for doing that, and I apologize certainly for using the Lord's name in vain.
Okay, what did you say? It wasn't there, Ted. Apparently you didn't say that.
You know, Phil, you're wearing my patience down.
I thought I heard you say GD.
And I didn't.
No, you did not.
So what am I apologizing for?
Well, it's a good question. If you didn't say it, then...
I didn't think I did say it, but you said that I did. So I'm apologizing because you said it got out over the air.
Yes, I did. I made a mistake.
Oh, man. You know, well, sit down, Ted, over there. Phil, I just sit down.
I'm telling you, I...
Just sit down up there. You go have a drink.
Yeah, I'm going to have a drink because, buddy...
I'm sorry. I thought I heard that. Bud didn't dump it, so, you know.
What am I? Just sit down, Ted. Just go. Just get out of here for 5 seconds, will you? You're starting to bother me, too. Phil, the problem that Ted has is if he didn't say GD, and then he goes and starts apologizing and talking about the filthy mouth that he's had his whole life, and he never said it, he didn't have to tell. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I understand that. I apologize. I thought I heard him say that. If he didn't say it, he could have said that he didn't say it, you know.
Well, no, life isn't that simple. If you're on the radio and the host of the show said that you said GD, then that's what you said. Now, to all of the people listening tonight who are, I apologize if the sale of hoodies is a I don't know that a lot of the people in your audience know what hoodies are, Phil. That's for starters.
Why do you say that?
Well, the late-night talk radio audience tends to be very rural, as you know, and a lot of those people just don't even, they don't get it. But to those people out there who know what a hoodie is, and you are interested in purchasing one of Ted Bell's hoodies, remember that they are available on the Phil Henry website, but that there is no intention of offending anyone related to recent events, even though Ted stands in solidarity with most people and how they feel about it. Why are you quiet?
Because what you're doing is, you guys, I love this, it's like what they used to call in politics the non-denial denial. You're saying that you're not doing something that you're doing.
No, I'm not. I'm letting people know that if they were thinking about the tragedy that I won't go into, because we're not going to commercialize that.
No, if you're thinking about the tragedy that you won't go into because we're not going to commercialize that, buy a hoodie in solidarity with the tragedy that we don't want to commercialize. That's really what you're saying. And that's what I'm fighting to be.
Hold on, Phil. I got to do the song.
Well, wait a minute.
Hold on. I'm going to do the song. All right, everyone. This is for Ted Bell and Phil Hendry and the sale of the hoodies tonight. The Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. Could you close the door to the kitchen, please?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Better take off your coat.
Yeah.
Real slow.
All of you people in the bar? Yeah, I'm over here. I'm Margaret Gray.
Take off your shoes.
And take off your pants. That's really what we're getting to, isn't it?
Take off your shoes.
And I'll take off your shoes while you slip off your pants.
Take off your
gloves.
Yes, yes, yes.
Take off your gloves. Yeah, love.
You can leave your hat on. You can leave your hat on.
You see what I'm doing there, Phil?
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean, yeah? Wait, kill the music. Kill the music for a minute. What do you mean, yeah?
Well, it's not my cup of tea.
Boy, don't you sound like the daintiest little Lloyd Fauntleroy.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me.
What does that mean, little Lord Fauntleroy?
I said little Lloyd Fauntleroy.
Little Lloyd Fauntleroy. That's a totally different guy.
What does that mean?
Well, you're all delicate.
Yeah, get real delicate. You don't like it, huh? She's singing about a lady taking her clothes off for a man. You understand what that is, don't you?
Yes, I understand what that is. What I don't like is the way she's singing the song.
You don't like the way I'm singing? Is that what your problem is?
Yeah, you can leave your hat on! What is that? I mean, God! Got a nosebleed.
Well, you got a pair on you, don't you? You know that I'm not the kind of woman that you mess with. You know that if I was standing there right now, I'd put the heel of a high heel right into your eyeball. You know that, don't you?
That's what I've heard. I don't know that I believe it.
Take it from me, Phil.
Have you seen her do that?
I haven't seen her do it, but I've heard graphic descriptions of it.
You better believe it.
Well, I don't think you're that crazy. I just don't think that you would do that. If you'd done that to someone, you'd be in jail.
Is that right? Who am I married to again? Oh, I'm sorry. A lawyer? Wow.
You don't get that, do you, Phil?
I don't think, and I know Frank Gray, and he's not a criminal.
Phil, this has been anybody that has ever given me trouble, I take off a high heel, and I bury the heel in their eyeball. Now, am I making myself clear?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, there you go. Good boy. Now, when we come back from this commercial break, I want people around their radio tonight to listen to the song that I've been trying to do for my very dear friend Ted Bell and the sale of these Ted Bell hoodies that have nothing at all to do...
Yeah, I know, with the tragedy that of recent events that we don't want to mention.
Bill, you're cheapening yourself. Every time you say that, you just make yourself look cheap.
No, Ted, what's going on here tonight... And every time I got you guys on the air, you know, they were always into some argument about this because you have some very warped perception or warped definition of what commercialism is. I believe that when you sit there and say, we are not going to tie this into recent events, all you do is direct people's attention to it. And you make yourself look like you're commercializing it.
No, Phil, what I've been listening to, and I heard this as I was driving in, and Frank heard it too, I heard you... Every time Ted just tried to blow it off and move on, you're going, well, now, Ted, you know, or it was more like, how was it, Frank? Listen, Ted. Yeah, that was it. Listen, Ted.
Oh,
It's pretty good.
We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, who's sponsoring?
Ted's of Beverly Hills. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And philhenryshow.com, Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies.
Phil Henry. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Wait a minute. We got to turn some of this music off, bud. What are you doing, man? All right. God.
Steakhouse, come on down.
You're on, Ted.
Yeah, thanks. Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills tonight to get the best steak you could possibly get. And in the meantime, visit the Phil Henry Show shop for your Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. Although, I don't know. I don't even think you got any listeners left.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, every time we come back from a break, Phil, hey, bud, turn the music off. Hey, bud.
You're really right, Phil. Ted, go sit down again. You're going to get yourself...
I swear to God, if I stroke out over this...
Sit down. You know, Phil, he's really right. It's been very sloppy tonight.
Oh, is that right? Well, excuse me, but we've got a number of things going on here. All right? We've got a remote going on from Ted's restaurant. I got Bud Dickman, who's never the sharpest tool in the toolbox. And, you know, and then I've got you...
But what does that mean, I've got you? What does that mean?
Well, with that, you can leave your hat, you know.
Look, I've got another song that I want to do. This one is clothing related. I'd appreciate it if you didn't start running your yap until I'm done with the song. If it's okay with you. Would that be all right with you?
That's fine, yeah.
Oh, well, great day in the morning. I get to get through a song. Here's one about wearing clothing, and I think the clothing that you people want to wear out there is your Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. That's right. Go to the Phil Henry Show website, click on Shop, hit Apparel, and get your Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie in solidarity of recent events.
I knew you'd do that.
Be quiet. Quiet, please. But you wear your hoodie well. A little old-fashioned, but that's all right.
Wow.
He wouldn't get in touch with me. He wouldn't even want to touch my knee or touch me over there. I sure do want to. Here we go. You wear it well. There ain't a lady in the man so fine. Is that nice, Ted?
I love it.
All right, hold on.
What?
Hold on, turn it off. God almighty.
What is wrong with him?
I don't know, Phil. Have you been to a doctor? Aren't you in therapy?
What is wrong with you? What, have I been to a doctor? Did you hear that?
Oh, my God, you do need a doctor.
What is wrong? Why do you keep interrupting her?
She's flat. She's off key. The song, as I remember it and as everybody else remembers it, is getting butchered alive as she sings it.
I'll handle this, Ted. I'll handle it, Ted. Sit down. Get yourself another cocktail. Jose, Mr. Bell, get him his Pim's cup. Yeah.
Yeah, and I want the cucumber.
Get him the Pim's cup with the cucumber. There you go. Go, you go over there, dear.
Pim's cup? Jeez.
Oh, is that gay?
No, I always figured Ted for a Scotchman, but...
Oh, I see. So he's not manly enough for you.
I didn't say that at all.
Bill, what I am doing as a professional singer, you should know this about me. I am simply improvising and escalating the rhythmic and harmonic possibilities of the song. So when Rod Stewart sings, "Will you wear it well?" All right, we know that that's the melody, and that's fine, and that's all well and good. Great, we've been there, done that. Can we do something else?
Well, I was just...
Can we do something else?
I was just...
Can we do something else? So when he sings, you wear it well, I do this. But you wear it well. A little old-fashioned, but that's okay. See, I sang professionally, Phil, for so many years.
That was the most horrific thing that I...
Are you jealous?
No, I'm not jealous. What you just did there was horrifying.
You know, I hear that from a lot of women that are, for instance, the mothers at Jason J. Delmonico's school. A lot of these, I call them clubhouse sluts. And they're jealous of the fact that I had a career in entertainment. So they'll say, Margaret, your voice sounds as if someone stuck a hyena's tail into a garbage disposal. And I'll say to them, why, you look at the little clubhouse slut. And they scatter off to their SUVs. And is that what you're going to do tonight, Phil? So it's a real big joke, huh?
What are you doing now? He's insulting you, Margaret.
I've got it, kid. Go back and... Jose, Mr. Bell's Pimm's Cup. There you go. Is that what you're doing, insulting me, Phil?
That was the funniest thing I ever heard in my life. All the little clubhouse slut. What is a clubhouse slut?
You don't know what a clubhouse slut is?
No.
It means these are women that found their husbands by hanging around country clubs, by slutting it up in these country club bars and restaurants, or for some of them, like Sue Del Griffin, I don't want to mention any names, but she deserves it, literally hanging around the locker room door. Can you imagine that? You imagine the stink and the disease?
What, are you talking about a clubhouse?
I'm talking about the locker room of a country club, yes.
The men's clubhouse?
Yes.
Well, what? I don't know that it's disease. I mean, you know, there's guys in there changing their clothes. Golfers are not the, you know, we're not talking about a bunch of guys that just got done playing rugby. You know, it's a sport that is not necessarily going to make you stink to high heaven.
What are you talking about? I'm talking about the clubhouse slut that takes that infection and spreads it into every decent family in every private clubhouse in Palm Springs. So,
boy, I have no idea. And, you know, let me just say to my audience, you're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Really? I didn't know that.
Well, I'm letting my... You can back off for a second. And we're talking with Margaret Gray here. We also have Ted Bell, who we're doing a live remote from the restaurant to take our, you know, catch our breath here. And they are pushing the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. Now, it's my feeling... And I could be wrong, but it's my feeling that the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, this is a bad time to tie any... You don't want to tie this in with anything that is happening in the news. If you want to sell the hoodie, that's fine, because the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie has been for sale on our website for a number of months. But to do a some kind of a radio-a-thon where you say, hey, we have the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie... And it's in solidarity over recent events. I don't like it. I don't buy it. I don't find it to be tasteful at all. They feel that there is nothing untoward about it. I think there's some commercial. I think there's commercialism at its worst there. That's the argument we're having. And Mr. Bell obviously has purchased the airtime here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Let's get back over to Ted's of Beverly Hills. In Beverly Hills, California. Ted, I my understanding is you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I do want to say something, since it is my remote broadcast, Phil. I don't think it's fair of you to say on your show that you feel we're commercializing this. I have said over and over that we're not commercializing. And if I say we're not commercializing something, then I have to say, what is it that we're not commercializing? Recent events is what I said. So that when we sell the hoodie... We don't want anyone to think we're commercializing anything, but we have to say it because they may think that we are.
Well, then why would you say purchase one in solidarity over recent events?
If they feel like they want to buy a hoodie in solidarity over recent events, am I the guy to tell them no?
That's a really good point, Phil. What's he supposed to do? Say, oh, by the way, don't buy a hoodie in solidarity over recent events.
Yeah. Keep your business. Please don't. If that's why you're going to buy one, don't do it.
Should he say that?
Well, yeah. As a matter of fact, he should.
Well, boy, are you... Wow, man. How did you survive the cradle? Honest to God. Were you born with your brain outside of your skull? Because I've heard of kids...
Okay, Ted. That doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand.
Well, what are you talking about? I'm going to turn away business. Why?
You're turning away business if there's anybody who is suddenly all jazzed about getting a hoodie over this terrible, tragic event that we're talking about.
Recent events is what I said. You're the guy that keeps wanting to allude to it.
I want to finish my song, if you don't mind.
That's fine. Now we got what?
David Hall.
David Hall again. This is the second night in a row with David Hall.
Well, I don't want to hear from him until I get to finish my song, and I was told that I was good. Now, I don't want to do You Wear It Well, Bud. I just was using that as an example of the kind of harmonics that I'm capable of and that the song is capable of. But I do want to get into deeper into You Can Leave Your Hat On. So, Bud Dickman, without further ado, let's hear that song. That's not the song, you... That's not the song, you idiot. You idiot. That's not the song. Thank you.
I don't think calling him an idiot.
I'm not an idiot.
Yes, you are an idiot. That wasn't the song. Everybody, I'm Margaret Gray for the Peds of Beverly Hills Hoodie. David G. Hall is waiting, I know, on hold, but he doesn't get to come on until I sing the song.
Never take off your coat.
Okay, can I say something?
No.
Real slow.
Get your Peds of Beverly Hills Hoodie.
Take off your shoes.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I'll take off your shoes.
You take off a shoe and I'll take off a shoe. Take off your dress, honey, and I'll take off Frank. Take off your dress.
Okay.
Isn't that cute?
That's a riot.
Your hat on. Leave your hat on. You see what I did there, Phil?
Yeah, what you did there is basically put a garage door up. Another one went up.
Oh, is that you, lousy...
Hold on for a minute.
Okay, we're taking a break here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and our remote live from Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Leave your hat on.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
I'm going to kill you, bud, if you don't turn that off, man.
You have butchered my show.
Your show.
Ted here from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and if you haven't picked up your Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, you probably won't now because of the developmentally disabled guy that works for Phil Henry who's carved my show up a new one. Thank you.
That was unnecessary, Ted.
Unnecessary? What do you think he's been doing the whole hour?
You got... But when we have two sources of audio coming up on one pot...
That doesn't concern me. I'm not some audio guy. I'm a restaurant owner. Telling me your problems... I'm not interested in your problems.
It gets Bud confused.
Yeah, does it? Maybe you ought to get somebody else in there.
Shut up, Mr. Bell. I'm developmentally disabled.
No, you're not. Henry said you weren't.
He's not. He was injured in a motorcycle accident. So why'd you say he was?
Just to see if he'd bite on it. Now, look, Phil, I got one more shot. Margaret has one more song to do, and then we got to wrap up because I've got a whole... I got a convention of I don't know what these guys are. They're businessmen from out of town. They're coming in. They've got a late dinner. We've got our prime rib room is reserved for these guys, and I don't know what they are. I don't know where they're from. I've got no idea, and it's scaring me, but they booked the room for twice the price. And have already come up with a 20% tip guaranteed, and they promised more. So,
so in other words, you got some money to make.
You better believe it. You better believe it. So, Margaret, I know that...
Let me say, Ted, why don't you get ready for these guys that are coming in, okay?
Don't say it like that.
Like what?
Well, you're saying get ready for the guys that are coming in.
I didn't say it anyway.
Well, you said it in a way like I'm going to be putting on a dress or something.
Oh, get out of here, will you, Ted, and do what you're going to do?
I didn't do it.
God. All right. right, here is the song that I'm going to cap the evening with, Phil. You reminded me of it, and I can still remember standing off stage on Broadway. Out on stage was Christopher Plummer, as well as Mary Martin. They cued me. I came in wearing a taffeta gown and pearl slippers, and I sang the following song. I am 16, going on 17. I know that I'm naive. You're big and strong and joining the Hitler Youth.
Wait, wait a second.
Don't interrupt me, please.
Wait a minute. What song is that?
That happens to be from The Sound of Music.
You're big and strong and joining the Hitler Youth.
Yes. Oh, my God, he doesn't know the song.
Wait, I can't have that.
What do you want?
What do I want? I'm the owner of the restaurant.
I'm in the middle of the song right now, Ted.
Wait a second. I just got a new pizza oven in. You want to know what? Phil, you can tell her the hell I went through with a pizza oven, okay? I had to go through three different shippers to get a pizza oven that was not made in Germany. And if you think for 5 seconds I'm going to have you singing some horse whistle number.
And it is not the horse whistle. It is Sound of Music.
Well, what did Phil, they got a Nazi thing?
No, they don't have a Nazi song.
Well, do they have anything Nazi in that?
They got a the plot, the boy becomes a Nazi.
Who does?
The daughter falls in love with one of the village guys. It's a little village love affair. But he becomes a Nazi.
Well, what the hell is she doing? You can't have that.
It's Sound of Music, Ted. Have you ever heard of it?
Yes, I've heard of it. I had no idea it had any Nazi subplots, or I never would have allowed it anywhere near my restaurant. You're telling me the one with Julie Andrews. I love Julie Andrews.
Yes.
Well, that's it. I won't have that lousy goose-stepping slut anywhere near...
Whoa, dude. You're taking it all out of proportion here. What do you think it is?
What is this whoa, dude? What do I look like to you, huh? Some guy with a backpack on smoking a joint under a tree after school? I said I don't want that goose-stepping slut anywhere near here. Now, I used to love Julie Andrews, but not anymore.
And can you get him to lay down. Get him to lay down. My God.
You know, he's losing his mind.
Well, I don't blame him, the things he's had to put up with tonight. I am 16.
I gotta use the bathroom.
Certainly. They have pushed me, Phil, out of the prime rib room because they're getting it set up for these drunks that are coming in later. I was in the main dining room. They've pushed me now all the way down near the men's room. This is where I'm having to do my song. I am 16. Yes, I know you knocked the phone out of my hand.
Right.
Would you close the bathroom door? Because I can see you taking your pants off in there.
All right.
Well, what are you doing?
I'm not doing anything. They've got me in the hall near the men's room. I am 16 going on.
Sorry.
Door hit me in the back. I am... Oh! My nose. I am...
Forget it, okay? Forget it, Margaret, okay? Forget it!
Get down.
Phil, yeah, Margaret. Her nose is bleeding. Get over there. Get plug her nose up. Stick something in that hole. Her nose. Yes. I can't tell you, Phil, but I got this big party coming in. Okay?
Look, Ted, can I tell you something?
What?
Sound of Music ain't a Nazi thing, okay? Do you understand? Sound of Music is it's a musical. It's only got one thing about Nazis in it.
What do you mean Nazis? I mean, you know my clientele, Beverly Hills?
I understand. But the fact is that in that play, the girl falls in love with a kid, and it's one of the tragedies of the play, of the musical, that the family escapes. The family has to escape because their beautiful, beloved Austria has turned Nazi, okay?
Yeah.
And one of the people that they have to leave behind, who they thought was their friend, and he's turned into a Nazi, is this boy that the girl loves.
Well, what's the song, I'm 17 going on 31? What is that?
No. It's the girl and the boy are singing to each other. It's at a point in the play where it's a very innocent thing, and they're falling in love, and she says, I am 16 going on 17, and he's a year older than her, and they sing this song to each other about how he'll protect her and take care of her. What are you crying?
Very sentimental.
with an NDA.
Okay, Ted, I hope we sold some hoodies tonight, and I'm glad we cleared up that whole overly commercialized thing.
And let me tell you something, my friend.
You're really emotional over that, huh?
Very sad. I'll tell you something. There ain't nothing that we did tonight that commercialized anything or overstepped any bounds that comes anywhere near the fact that that woman brought into my restaurant tonight is sorry.
You really got to get a grip, Jack. You talk about me needing a doctor.
I didn't say I didn't need one. I said you need one. That doesn't mean I don't need one. All right? What is that? That's music?
That's your music.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills, but stay out of the prime rib room. We've got a real big party in there. They've booked the room through 2 a.m. Don't even go near it.
Well, that sounds welcoming.
You better believe it.
We want to put our meat in your mouth. And we're out at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Okay, out.
Thank you very much, bud. Turn the phone. Get the phone out of here.
All right, and out.
Yeah. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. A couple of more hours. Our news and information hour coming up as well.
I am 16 going on 17.
Phil Henry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And, of course, we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Now, you know that we are on our website on Phil TV and HD, so you can get a backstage pass and join us for our video casts. And we do Q&As on our video cast occasionally. We're going to do one this Friday night following the show. So following our broadcast this coming Friday night at 1 a.m., that would be 1 a.m. technically early Saturday morning, we're going to do a question and answer Q&A on our website and here on Phil TV and HD. So get your backstage pass and join us for that. We are also going to be here for the Super Bowl. Phil will be, you know, we call it Sunday Football with Phil. And we'll be here for the Super Bowl, so we'll watch the ball game with you. And it will be perhaps during that game, but we've gotten an awful lot of requests that we may actually either crack a cold one or bring out the Don Julio. So we'll see. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Stephen Bozell, who is a contributor to our program in a variety of ways, having to do with news, employment, as well as family, is joining us this hour. And we're going to talk about Facebook and what Facebook's IPO, that is initial public offering, and really what Mark Zuckerberg being back in the news means to the average person, to the average man. Stephen Bozell has instituted the beginning steps of a lawsuit, not against Mark Zuckerberg, but against the San Jose Mercury News and other newspapers, other publications and news websites for reporting the news and reporting about Mr. Zuckerberg the way they do. It's a very, very fascinating story. And let's bring on now from Corona, California, Steve Bozell, a father of two, a husband, the owner of his own construction company. And as I found out talking to you in our pre-interview this evening, Steve, you were raised in a two-parent home, obviously. But it was your mother who got you into the construction business.
Yes, sir. That is absolutely correct.
Your mother was the one who had the construction business?
My mother started out, she had a roofing business, and she went into general contractor license, and I worked for my mother through high school.
Oh, and what did your dad do?
My father was a bartender. He worked briefly at two restaurants, one of the country clubs in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, which is where I grew up, and another country club outside of Knoxville, and worked at Mosby's, which is a steakhouse in Knoxville.
And would you say that your mother was the breadwinner?
Well, I would say my mother probably earned most of the money, yeah. But I you know, talk about that. I don't really talk, you know, a lot about it because people will tend to make a big deal out of somehow that's going to affect, you know, whether I'm a man or not. And I don't like to.
Have people? Are you telling me people question your manhood because you learned your construction trade?
Well, no, I mean, I don't. It's funny what people will do. I just want people to know that I have, you know, I'm in my family, I'm the man, and I don't want anybody thinking that's not the case. And certainly, with a story like this story about Facebook and Mr. Zuckerberg, it tests, I think, every man in the world. It tests your own personal capacity to stand up like a man and be counted. And it tests just how, you know, tall and straight and strong you can stand when you're in the face of this kind of thing that you see. I have always...
All right, well, let me interrupt you here. You have taken exception to a San Jose Mercury article about Mark Zuckerberg.
Yes, sir.
And you've also proposed... Have you talked to your attorney? I don't really know what it is you want to do.
Well, what we're asking them to do is to simply strike the sentence from their story, to print a retraction, and to reprint the story, striking the phrase. And the phrase is, referring to Mark Zuckerberg, a college dropout, 27 years old, brings Wall Street to its knees.
Now, what are you finding fault about that?
Well, Mr. Henry, I'm pushing 40. I'm 39 years old. I'm going to be 40 this June. And I worked very hard in my life, and I've got a little bit. I probably don't have as much as some. But I know now, at this point in my life, I'm never going to have, you know, that kind of money. And when they say, you know, a college dropout at 27 brings a Wall Street to its knees, there's a flip side to that. What they're saying basically is, What are you? You know, you're nothing. You know, and...
Well, look, I don't know that they're saying that.
Absolutely. See, there's the in law, and I was told by Ms. Blasingame, who's my attorney, Dolores Blasingame, in law they recognize something called negative evidence, or the lack of evidence being proof. What's unspoken there is that I'm a loser, that you're, you know, I don't know about you, but what's unspoken there individually for me is they're telling me I'm a loser. And they're telling every man listening to your broadcast right now that they're losers. And
so the lawsuit is what?
Well, the lawsuit is asking for a retraction.
Well, are they going to retract by stating we are sorry?
Simply ask them to take that phrase out of the story and to reprint the story in a more respectful way to do it, instead of printing a story that it reminds me, when I read that line, a college dropout, 27 years old, he brings Wall Street to his knees, it reminds me of every failure that I've ever done.
I can tell that there's a little bit of emotion in your voice.
Yes, sir.
And that this is a story that is something very personal for you, isn't it?
I think it's personal for any man, Mr. Henry, to read about some, you know, I mean, essentially, some punk who got a idea and now he's got millions and millions. And I've worked my whole life trying the very best that I can. And I would have to, I mean, I would probably take a job working for this guy as a driver, because he could probably pay me money that I would think is good money. I mean, that's the part that hurts me more than anything.
You're going to have to run that by me again. Are you?
I'm simply saying the kind of salary that this guy could pay, I would probably quit my job today and work, you know, as a houseboy.
As a houseboy. So you think that Mark Zuckerberg has that kind of... Well, obviously, he has the kind of bread to have houseboys or butlers or whatever, but do you think he's going to pay enough money to a houseboy that would rival what you make as the owner of your company?
In the middle of this recession? Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, what do you think millionaires pay houseboys?
Well, I can tell you that I know that some domestic staff in many homes that are you know, well-to-do, they make upwards of six figures a year, without any low six figures a year, you know, personal assistant, that kind of thing. And my wife, when I told her I was coming on your program, and I talked to Dolores, she'd asked me who I was calling. I said, I'm calling Dolores Blanchard. And she got angry because my wife has a great deal of hatred for Dolores Blaziken, which is a whole area that I'd like to touch on with you sometime.
All right.
But I said to her that, you know, I'm going to go on the Phil Henry show. And she said to me, are you going to talk about Zuckerberg? She said, yeah. She said, you mean the man, you know, that you could be a houseboy for? And I said,
go ahead.
I said to her, boy, that hurt.
I don't think that your wife said you could be a houseboy for Mark Zuckerberg because that came to her mind spontaneously. I think she thought that because that's what you had, you know, said.
Well, no, there's no question I put that in her mind. But my whole point is this. This man, Manuel Enrique of Palo Alto, yeah, Palo Alto Hercules. He said that this is a tectonic shift in the history of capitalism, and that Mark Zuckerberg, a college dropout, 27 years old, brings Wall Street to its knees. And that's like saying that Steve Bozell, Phil Henry, or whoever out there in your listening in the listening area, are losers and are no, you know, I mean, I've worked my whole life. I ain't never going to have any. Well, he had.
All right, so, and that's very true, and I won't either, sir. So let's just put that.
Well, and that doesn't bother you.
No, it doesn't bother me. Would I like to have that kind of bread? Sure. I mean, you know, what bread to me represents is the ability to do stuff. If you have a lot of money, you can do a lot of things. There's a lot of things you can do, but be that as it may, we have to work with the resources we have, you know.
I'm asking you a straight question. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of money?
Yes. The answer is absolutely yes.
Well, Mr. Henry, you're older than me. Don't you go to bed at night thinking, looking at yourself, what a loser?
No, sir. I try not to look at myself and say, what a loser. You know, I've got a good life. I've got a good career. I make a good dollar. I'm not, you know.
Well, but don't you have to say that on account of you being on the radio?
No, I don't have to say anything I don't want to say. I'm saying you're bringing a legal action against a newspaper for printing the line, 27 years old, he brings Wall Street to his knees, because that makes you look like a loser, you think, and all of my other listeners, and I believe that you may be overreacting to that.
No, I'm not overreacting to that. If you look at, forget it.
No, not forget it. We have another minute.
Well, if you just look at on the surface, I'm working my whole life, and this Zuckerberg has... He has more money. He's got more money than any man I've ever heard about. And...
All right, I tell you what, let me take a break here, Steve.
No, but...
Hold on for a minute. Let's take a break. 877-876-7445. Mark Zuckerberg, to quote the San Jose Mercury News, a college dropout, 27 years old, brings Wall Street to its knees. That's an impressive statement, isn't it? It's an impressive thing. And Mr. Enrique is the man who said that, also said it is a tectonic shift in the history of capitalism, this initial public offering by Facebook to raise $5 billion. We'll be right back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-7445. We're here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're on Saturday nights for our local show, and you can watch us on Phil TV and HD on our website, philhenryshow.com. We are also at Twitter, at twitter.com/realphilhenry. That's my personal account over there. And then we have twitter.com/philhenryshow. And if you want to visit us over at Facebook, we're all over that too. Facebook.com/PhilHenryFans, spelled PHANS. Stephen Bozell joining us here from Corona, California, as we discuss Mark Zuckerberg's IPO. $5 billion he's hoping to raise. None of that bothers you, Steve, right?
Well, it doesn't bother me, Mr. Henry. I realize that's the nature of the beast. I realize that in a capitalistic society, there's always going to be somebody who's going to have more money and is going to be better looking, and I'll take my wife to a restaurant, and no matter how hard I work, no matter how much I maybe buy good clothes, or I try to take a shower and put on good cologne, or however, there's going to be a guy in the restaurant who's more, I don't know how you want to put it, more endowed.
So what's this got to do with
I'm just saying, for them to put it into print the way they did, okay, it's one thing to say the man did a good thing. Now they're saying he's 27 years old, he brings Wall Street to its knees. That is a direct threat to me and to every man that's not, any kind of a genius when it comes to business. Makes us look like losers. And I would simply like the San Jose Mercury News to recant that and to take it out.
Take that statement out.
Yes, sir.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. I'm going to go over to a phone call here. We have Ken on the line. Ken, you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. I don't have a problem with Zuckerberg and no one else in America who catches an idea and turns it into a profit. America is built off capitalism. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get off the line, because I know you don't have a lot of time for everybody. Somewhere along the line, this guy in California, someone has told him that he's nothing but a loser, and he's bought into that all his life. There's no way in the world dude should be thinking about he's a loser. He owns his own construction company. Come on, guy. You're not a loser.
Yes, sir, I do. I do, sir, but here's the thing. I make, a good amount of money, but here comes this guy, Zuckerberg, who's 27 years old. He's single. That means he's got, don't you understand what I'm saying?
Listen. No, I don't get it. Listen to me. I don't get it, okay?
Oh, my God.
I don't have as much money as you do. I drive a truck for a living. I make an okay living. I put an ex-wife through college. I put my son through school, okay? I'm single now.
Yeah.
I'm a girlfriend, but I'm not trying to be rich. Rich is not in my timeline in my life. Some of us will be rich. Some of us won't. Just do what you do. You are what you are. It is what it is.
I mean, that's pretty good advice, Steve.
Well, I know, but every time I open up a newspaper, and I see the name, and there it is, Mark Zuckerberg, and he's single, and he's going to have $5 billion, that means pretty much any kind of, any kind of poon.
And all right, okay. I don't know what you're saying there.
I cut the word in half. But he can get, if I can just say, he can get any kind of poon he wants.
And all right, I understand. Any woman that he wants. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
Just say woman.
Mark Zuckerberg is a little 27-year-old punk kid who has got gonna have $5 billion, haul the poon, and I think it's unfair. And I said so.
And you want the San Jose Mercury News to take the phrase out, he's brought Wall Street to its knees?
Yes, sir, I do. And I'll tell you something else. That gentleman that I spoke, that's a good man,
Yes, he was a very good man, and he had very, very sound advice.
Yes. And I know he believes what he says, but I just think if you have been eating cat meat your whole life, you think...
Oh, I get it. So that guy's been eating cat meat his whole life, huh?
If you eat stir-fried cat, well, you're not going to... Are you going to complain?
If it's all I know, I guess, no, I won't complain.
That's my point.
And, Steve, how do you know you're not eating stir-fried cat, and that gentleman that just called is eating beef bourguignon, or he's eating filet mignon?
Well, I don't even know what that is. What do you mean, beef? I don't... No one's ever heard of that.
Okay, great. 877-876-PHIL. I think that man hit the nail on the head. You've been called a loser your whole life. Here is Joe on the Phil Henry Show. Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say, I'm just sitting here driving down the road with a semi. I just want to tell a guy, quit beating yourself up. You know, riches ain't going to make you happy. Yeah, I make some money, but I've got family that live in Knoxville that are multi-millionaires, and they got more problems than anybody I know. And I just think that this guy is beating himself up and think you got to cause a lawsuit and just live your life and be happy.
Don't you think that when we see a chance in life that we ought to stand our ground and just say, you know, you can't just go throwing some guy's money up in my face?
It was an article in a paper. I don't see how they're throwing anything in your face. You know, I don't see how they're throwing anything. Yeah. You know what I'm saying, Steve?
No, I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what you're saying because I know it doesn't bother this gentleman, but I'm saying to you, sir, and I'm saying to all the men out there, we need to be bothered when some newspaper says, look at this kid, 27-year-old, just a bunch of losers.
No, they're not saying that. They're reporting the business news. All right, listen, thank you very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL, as we talk about Mark Zuckerberg and the fact that these, one of the quotes says that he's 27 years of age, he's a college dropout, he's brought Wall Street to its knees, and Mr. Bozell, a construction contractor in Corona, California, would like that quote taken from the article. He says it insults and demeans every man who reads it and calls the rest of us losers. 877-876-PHIL. What do you think? The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Oh, man, would you please listen to me?
We're back here with Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, as we talk about a line in the San Jose Mercury newspaper of today, a line describing Mark Zuckerberg, the young man who founded Facebook, who at the age of 27, and this is the quote, at the age of 27, a college dropout, he has brought Wall Street to its knees. He's quite the success story. And Mr. Bozell, you don't like that line. You find it humiliating. You find it, you think that it humiliates not just you, but every man that reads it. You think it basically screams to every guy that reads it, you're a loser.
Yes, sir, and I also, the inherent statement that it does not deal with, and that is, it's saying, basically, you know, this kid can get any, I mean, I don't want to put it in any way that would be not, you know, family friendly or anything, but it's basically saying this kid can get any kind of tail that he wants.
You could just say woman, any kind of...
Yeah, I'm sorry. And I think that hurts more than anything.
Why does that hurt more than anything?
I mean, to have so much money that all you got to do is just say to any woman you see, you know, get over here. I mean, I don't want to disrespect no women. And
so you think women, there is a point where you have so much money, there isn't a woman that you would see that wouldn't want to be with you. So in other words, married women that are in love with their men. You think there's a point?
Yes, sir, I do. And Mr. Henry, I respect women more than any man, I dare say any man you can think of. But, you know, there was a great line in a movie that I heard one time where the man said, you know, given the right time and the right place, A woman will do anything. I mean, she will do anything And
boy, you got a lot of respect for women then, huh?
Well, I'm not saying that that's...
You're not saying that's bad, huh? So, with enough money, no matter who, a man can have any woman he wants.
God help me for saying it, but yes. God forgive me.
All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Here is James. James, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir. Is this James or Lynn? Whoever, who is this?
This is James.
Go ahead, James. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to know why this guy is intimidating, is so intimidated by this Zuckerberg, and why he's so worried about this guy Mark can get any woman he wants. Isn't this guy married? Doesn't he respect his wife? What's up with that?
Steve?
Yes, sir, I am married. I do love my wife very much.
So why are you so worried about this other guy can get any woman? And you're disrespecting a woman by calling her a poon, let alone a tail. You know, right there tells me how you think of women, and I'm sure all the other listeners are agreeing with me on that. You couldn't even come around and say woman until Phil here said, why can't you just say woman? And you still had trouble saying it. You know, and why does that intimidate you so much?
What? Yeah, that is the question.
Well, okay, I think you're making a good point, and all I'm saying is, sir, he doesn't really intimidate me. It's that he has, at the age of 27, I mean, it's almost like he's got more money than Jesus himself would have miracled. If Jesus was going to miracle his own, I guess you could say if Jesus was going to miracle his own wealth, that's more money than Jesus probably miracled.
Let me ask you this. Are you jealous of Bill Gates? How about Donald Trump? He can get any woman he wants, too. You know?
Well, not really, because... Not really, because this guy Zuckerberg's got them both beat, because he's doing it at 27.
Well,
you know?
You know, Mick Jagger was 27 once too, and had money up the wazoo and could have any woman he wants.
He didn't do it in the business world. He did it in rock and roll, which everybody knows. That doesn't mean anything. Any idiot can do that. I'm talking about being in the business land, and this guy's 27, and he's a genius at business, and with that much money, he could literally have any woman, and that's what Mr. Henry didn't want me to say, but...
You're saying something that I think is even more insulting than what James is saying. You're saying, not you're saying anything insulting, James, of what you're describing. You're saying that every woman has a price. That's what you're saying, right?
Yes, sir.
And Mark Zuckerberg now has the money to meet the price of any woman on Earth.
Yes, sir.
Well,
and you're jealous of that.
Let me ask you this question. This gentleman from California here who's upset with this Zuckerman guy, what is the price his wife would accept? That sounds to me like he's worried that this
guy... He's not married. Are you talking about my wife?
No. I'm talking about this guy from California here that we're talking with.
Yeah, that's me, sir. I would say the following thing. My wife, I love her very deeply. If Mark Zuckerberg come along and opens up, basically just shows her what he's got, what am I going to do? There's nothing I can do about it. And that's the other thing that I think you're missing the understanding part of, that Mr. Henry is too. If Mark Zuckerberg come down to my area and his wife
would leave you if some stranger, some guy in the media, some guy written in the newspaper comes by and opens his wallet, then your wife doesn't love you to begin with. My wife wouldn't do that. My wife.
I don't think that that's the case. I think that my wife. I don't think you can fold a woman when she finally finds the price.
That's ridiculous. If your wife loves you, and some millionaire, zillionaire, quadrillionaire walks up and goes, hey, you know, how about $2 million to be with me for the night or to come live with me or whatever, and your wife does that, what kind of relationship?
I would say, I wouldn't say, see, $2 million, sir, you're talking about that movie that I've seen, that Indecent Proposal. Okay.
You're talking about you're intimidated because this guy has $5 billion and he can have any woman he wants. Now, I ask you the question, if this guy comes up to your wife, is your wife going to walk away with this guy after he opens his wallet to her? And if she walks away with this guy, then I don't think you have any type of relationship to begin with your wife. How long have you been married to her? I've been married
18 years.
I've been married
18
for
20
years. I've been married for
okay, but I'm,
years.
My point is this. You're missing my point. My point is this. You and me, you and me, if we were standing on a front lawn one day with our wives, and Mark Zuckerton comes over from his car and says, take a look at what I got, you know, and both of our wives left, I would say to you, hey, you know, more power to them.
More power to them?
Yeah. I am secure with not only my marriage, but my life to where I don't think those thoughts.
I don't know. You may not think those thoughts, but what I'm trying to say to you is, it's a real threat.
It's a real threat, huh, that Mark Zuckerberg's going to come up to the front of your house.
I'm saying every...
You guys
don't get it.
I can't believe what you're saying. That
every woman has a price. You meet her price.
My woman doesn't.
And man, she'll put her ankles before...
Okay, let's watch the dirty talk, okay? Do you mind?
Sorry.
My wife doesn't have a price because she loves me. All right.
I believe she loves you, sir. I believe she loves you. I believe she loves you very much. She loves you up to that price. And once that price is met,
I already know that. That's because I'm secure in my marriage, and I don't wake up or look in the mirror and go, geez, this guy over here's got all this money. I'm such a loser. I am very comfortable with... I'm a truck driver.
I'm not saying you shouldn't be comfortable. I'm not saying that you, and I'm saying that it's good that you're comfortable. I'm comfortable, but I'm doing... See, the thing that's makes different from me to you, I think about these things so you don't have to.
On national radio and starts to talk about somebody that he probably has never met or talked to in person and emotionally breaks down, has got an insecure life. That's all I have to say about that. Because like that over somebody that has that kind of money, you got to either be insecure or very, very jealous.
Okay, I'm not jealous. I'm simply saying I know how the world works. And I believe your wife loves you, and my wife loves me. But they love us up to, you know, a number of zeros. If a guy comes along with extra zeros, guess what? They hit their love limit.
My wife's going to leave for $2 zillion. I don't think so. Because my wife...
Well, I mean, the key word there is think. And
okay, Steve. You know, Steve, you made a comment, Steve. You said you think about these things so guys like James don't have to. Now, all you've done is gotten yourself worked up. James doesn't believe you. Mark Zuckerberg may be a guy that can have any woman he wants, but for you to say that every woman has a price,
Mr. Henry, you know, and James knows that given the right place and the right time, and there's nobody around and nobody watching, a woman will do anything.
Not quite, dude. Some women do have morals, praise the Lord, and some women don't need what you're talking. If your wife walks away for a price, then you better rethink the marriage.
I'm telling you, sir, I'm just saying, if you turn on enough lights and you get enough cameras going, women will do anything.
Boy. Wow.
Phil,
your wife included.
Okay, I got to take a break. James, thank you, sir, for your call, though. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Given enough lights...
That is correct, sir.
this is the emotionalism that gentleman was talking about.
Well, you know, if I can be allowed to be emotional over the possibility that my wife is going to go away with Mark Zuckerman and, you know, get put on that $1 million smile because some guy just turned on about 5 lights and got 6 cameras going.
All right, why don't you hang on, okay?
Okay.
We may want to break it off with this guy, Bud.
Yeah.
He sounds like he's a wreck. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back here. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Our news and information hour coming up next.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show. I just heard some music there. I don't know what that was, bud. We have on the line with us Stephen Bozell. We've got a couple of more, just a few more minutes with Mr. Bozell to talk with him about this fear that you have of Mark Zuckerberg, all of this money. It's a humiliating thing that they said he's 27 and that he has brought Wall Street to its knees and that he's a college dropout. He's a major success. And now you've been talking to our producer.
Yes, sir. And the reason why I did is I had him get a song. I asked him if you do have a song to play, because the song is a song about what a woman's capable of. And boy, I'll tell you.
Okay, bud, have you got that?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead and roll the tune. I don't know what this song is. Do you know what? Okay, this is the Andrea True, right?
Yes, sir. Now, what you're hearing here is the Andrea True connection, and she's going to be singing about. When I hear this, I think about my wife, your wife. It could be anybody's wife. If this guy Zuckerberg gets a hold of your wife, this is it. And you'll hear there's a section of the song where she goes, "Get it, get the camera."
All right, hold on. But if you want to know
how I really feel, oh, God. Just get the cameras rolling. Right there. Get the action going. Baby, you God, right. My love
for you is real. Okay, so take me where you want to.
May my heart you steal. Yes, sir.
I got to tell you, Steve, I got to tell you I'm laughing.
Okay, you can laugh if you want to. You want to laugh at me? You can laugh. Go ahead, turn it off. You want to laugh at me?
You're telling me if Mark Zuckerberg gets a hold of your wife, she turns into... You know who Andrea True was. She was an adult film actress in the 70s.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, I mean, she's singing about being an adult film actress. She was, you know... I think she recorded that song in the Bahamas while she was down there doing a movie.
Yeah, I'm just saying, when I hear that song...
You think about your wife, April?
Yes, I do.
All right, 877-876-7445. Let's go to a phone call. We have Torrin on the line. Torrin, go ahead. You're on with Stephen Bozell, sir.
Yes, I'm calling in to ask Steve. I don't understand. It sounds like you're emotionally unstable. It sounds like you don't even really trust your own wife, and I don't understand that. If you love her like the way you say you do, why would you suspect a man that she's never met, younger than her probably, that Mark Zuckerberg travels in a world that you don't even travel in? Why would you even want to say something like that about your own wife, whom you say you love?
I do love her, sir. I love her very much, you know, and I wouldn't... Here's the thing that maybe you guys wouldn't want me to say, but I wouldn't even... If April got turned into some kind of drink... God forgive me for saying this, sir, but if my wife got turned into a drink whore by Mark Zuckerberg, I probably would understand it.
Oh, my God. A drink whore. That's what you just called your wife.
No.
You, in other words, you're saying your wife can be bought with a drink. That's what you said, man. It's got nothing to do with money. Just hanging around a bar, huh?
I'm just saying, if she knew who Mark Zuckerberg... She knows Mark Zuckerberg's got a lot of money.
Mark Zuckerberg, with all the money that he's got, can turn, he could turn any woman into a drink whore.
How would you, why would you even make a statement like that about the woman that you say you love? That doesn't make any sense.
Because I know the, I know what women, what their limits are. I know that women are not saints. I know they're good people. But you know as well as I do, sir, if you read your Bible, they're more capable because they've been closer to the serpent.
Oh, sir, come on. Will you, man? Will you get this religious stuff?
Don't, Mr. Henry, don't offend my religion.
Oh, well, yeah, but this is medieval, man. It's medieval. It's when they used to say that women were this and that, and they used to burn them at the stake. You want to do that, too?
Of course I don't.
Well, then stop it with that nonsense.
Sir, you yourself are capable of doing something, and if I were Mark Zuckerberg, I really would be very, you know, would worry about a person like you, because you seem like you're a very unstable person. You're envious of the man. You're envious
no,
of
sir.
The man, and you don't even care.
No, I'm not.
The man don't even know you.
I'm not enemies of Mark Sugarman. I would never do nothing to him. And
some of his name's Mark Sugarman?
I mean Zuckerberg, I'm sorry. I would never do nothing to him. I would understand. I just hope and pray it never does happen, that's all. Otherwise?
You'd understand if your wife goes off and he's got the cameras rolling.
Yes, sir. And you want to laugh at that, Mr. Henry?
Have your wife ever cheated on you?
Not that I know of.
Then why are you, does she know that you're saying these things about her?
I think my wife understands. She understands because I pointed out to her in the paper today. I said, "Here's this." I showed her the picture of Zuckerberg, and she said, "Yeah." And I said, "Look at the money he's got." I said, "You probably." I said, "You go ahead and go take a trip around the world for that, wouldn't you?"
God, you talking that way to your wife,
Mr. Henry? I'm trying to be.
God, was this at breakfast, dude? Are your kids there? I mean, I just want to get the whole picture of your family.
I mean,
are you talking to your wife like this? Would you take a trip around the world for this guy? This cat here, Torin, and the rest of these guys are right, man. You're paranoid. What is with this music?
You can do us. You hear that? That's my wife, April. Are you married, sir? Is Torin, are you married, sir?
Yes, I am.
Okay, how'd you like it if your wife was saying, get the cameras going?
First of all, sir, if a woman did that to me, and if I was married to her, and if she did something like that to me, no amount of money in the world could be able to hold her anyway. And the bottom line is, my wife is not like that. And I don't believe yours is either. I can't believe you would even talk like that about your own
right.
wife. What kind of
own
man
wife.
Are you?
All right. Hey, listen, Torin, very good call. I appreciate it. Mr. Bozell, good luck with this injunction against the Sacramento Mercury News to take out the line about this guy. Oh, will you turn off more?
My wife, get the cameras going. Get the action going.
Oh.
Phil Hendry.
More.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show live tonight. Back from a small hiatus, working another job, heading from here to there and back again. You know, I think wasn't that Bilbo Baggins?
Yeah, Bilbo Baggins and Frodo did the... Frodo did the preface.
Well, I'm not interested in who did the preface. It was... Anyway, back on the live Phil Hendry Show here tonight and every night, Monday through Friday from 10 p. to 1 a. And, of course, we're on the air till 1 o'clock on the Pacific Coast and 4 o'clock Eastern time in the a.m. of a Saturday. And this is a good night to be on the air because people are out and about. And, of course, we're live on our website, philhendryshow.com. You can watch us on Phil TV in HD, 3 solid hours every night of our live video cast, showing you how we do our show, the most interesting radio show to watch, as well as listen to, we like to think, in the universe. And, of course, you can access all of our archives. Nonetheless, we are here, and we are very grateful to have you with us. Some very twisted things in the news tonight, and some interesting things in the news tonight, and everything in between. One of the things that's twisted is the fact that Westboro Baptist Church plans to picket Steve Jobs' funeral. Now, these are people, as you know, that know no real depth to their depravity. One of the most depraved aspects of these people is that everything they do in the name of Jesus Christ, God, and other respected and beloved and sacred names to people who are Christian. Nonetheless, this is what Westboro Baptist Church has been doing, not only to what they plan on doing with Mr. Jobs, but at the funerals of soldiers, which, my God, I mean, I got to tell you, that breaks all records. I never even thought in a million years anybody would have the guts to go to a to the funeral of a soldier and essentially call that individual a sinner because he was fighting on behalf of the great Satan America. Nonetheless, we're going to talk with David Castorini, who is the minister there at Youth Ministries, the David Castorini Youth Ministry in Tucson, Arizona. Tonight, our affiliate spotlight is on the good people at KRYK in Chinook, Montana, yes, and WEUS in Orlando, Florida. And I think we've been on that station in Orlando longer than we've been on any radio station in Orlando ever in the history of...
Orlando.
In the history of Orlando, yeah.
I think they like us. No, I haven't said that. They'll probably pull us off the air.
Well, you know, that's what I... Let's not count our chickens before they have feathers.
But still.
No, we're very grateful, and we thank all of you folks in Orlando and elsewhere who, you know, who can find us. I mean, who listen to us. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Tomorrow night, Saturday night, we do a local show here in Los Angeles, and if you are in the L.A. area or if you're watching us on Phil TV, which you can also watch the show, you'll notice that I have a very difficult time on that show. I go between two phone numbers. I always forget the local phone number, and I give our national number, and then I remember to give our national number. Anyway, there's a drinking game whereby when I give the wrong phone number, you're supposed to take a shot of Don Julio tequila.
Oh, so it is Don Julio.
Get close to the mic, will you?
So it is Don Julio.
Yes, you have to do this with Don Julio. So if you want to play the Phil Hendry drinking game, it's on Saturday nights. If I give the national number by mistake instead of the local number, you have to take that $60 bottle of Don Julio and start taking hits off of that. All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. David Castorini with us, the pastor of Castorini Youth Ministries in Tucson, Arizona. And, David, good to have you with us tonight. Thank you for being with us.
Phil, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Let's take a look at this story. I know that you have a couple of thoughts on this. First of all, I want to ask you, have you had any interaction with people in Westboro Baptist?
Well, no, Phil. I would never have occasion to interact with those individuals. For starters, they're not in the same part of the country as us. We are in the Southwest, and the other is that we're not part of the same overall denomination. We're Pentecostal. I believe they call themselves a Baptist church, but I don't think they're Pentecostal. I think they might be Church of Christ or one of the others, but. So, from that standpoint, we would never see them at any of our national conclaves. And of course, their methods you describe them as almost verging on blasphemy, if not...
Verging on? Don't you think they actually do blaspheme?
I'm not going to make that judgment. I wouldn't make that judgment on any church. I would not even make that judgment I was going to say on a satanic church. I suppose I should, but...
Well, I've got satanic churches clearly blasphemy.
That is correct, but the point that I'm making is I don't like to judge other Christian churches, other religious, anyone's religious experience, but I'll give you this. The Westboro Baptist, I don't think that they have much to do with Christianity at all, and that's my feeling. But having said that, I do have some feelings on the... on what they're saying about Steve Jobs.
Well, that's why I wanted to have you on. I'm not going to say that you agree with them, but you sort of...
Let me say this. I know that Steve Jobs is respected and loved. And in his life, he was not only respected and loved, he was he was feted, and he and probably rightfully so. I don't know. And now in death, people have you know, they have been speaking in glowing terms, in respectful terms, eulogizing him, memorializing him. That might be all well and good, but let's step back from Steve Jobs as the legendary figure of the computer and the personal computer experience. Let's talk about what he did, Phil, that I think weakened us a little bit. What he did was he made it possible for the personal computer to be invented. If you think of what we do on the personal computer, you recognize very quickly that we went from being a social animal to a very solitary animal, interacting with people only by way of the conduit afforded us on the internet, and we do that by way of the computer.
Well, you know, not to interrupt you, but I remember reading that when the telephone was first invented, and the telephone became popular in usage in the late 19th century, the same prediction was made that we would lose our intimacy, that we would lose our contact with other people.
Well, no, I understand that, and of course it's a very, but that was when the telephone was invented. I'm talking about this some 20 years, almost 30 years past the introduction of the personal computer. So this is not a prediction I'm making, Phil. I'm telling you that this is what's happened. Okay.
And all right, but do you single that down to Steve Jobs, or do you pinpoint that more on the people that took the personal computer, married it to the World Wide Web, and then, you know, invented things like Twitter or Facebook?
Well, I point directly to Steve Jobs because Steve Jobs created something without realizing the damage it would do. He created something without realizing the use that a lot of people would put it to. Or if he did realize it, that becomes an even more sinister reality. Because if you look at a personal computer and what people use it for, the porn industry is making a lot of money. Disinformation, misinformation. We've already seen how people put people put personal computer to use for evil, to harass and to bully a young girl or young people into committing suicide. We've seen this in multitudinous ways. Steve Jobs did that.
And Steve Jobs did that? Oh, this is what I'm trying to say.
You can't see, Phil. You can't say I really respect Steve Jobs, but I don't, and I keep him separated from the evil that he made possible.
Well, no, wait. I mean the evil that he made possible. He invented something. Can we not say that the computer is used for good? And can't this argument be made that while the automobile is something that kills people and it goes too fast and it has, and that in and of itself has eliminated the leisurely pace of life, and now we're going too fast at a lot of things that we do, it also is something that has given us great pleasure. And
now you're talking about the automobile.
I'm talking, yes, of the automobile, where we take our families out, we go on a Sunday drive, where we are able to see the country. There was a time when people, without the automobile, people spent their entire lives having seen only a small portion of this country that they grew up in. And you see,
you know, I think you can apply that to a lot of things. But I'm not going, but you can't say that the automobile, there's one person. You can't say the telephone was something that, you know, when people made these predictions about the telephone, they came true. Steve Jobs, this is different. Steve Jobs created the personal computer, and as a result of that, we have people every day, and I mean all over this country, and every minute of every day, looking at pornographic websites, paying good money to look at these pornographic videos, paying good money to look at these sex sites and so on, and that is Steve Jobs doing. And you cannot say he was a great man and at the same time ignore what he did, which was to bring this kind of depravity into our home.
But he didn't. You can't. I don't see how you can hang that on him as something that he purposefully did.
Phil, whether he purposely did it or he did not do it, the sin of omission is nonetheless the same thing. When you do something and you aren't aware of the evil that you have done, you didn't think about it, you didn't really expect it, so on and so forth, that does not excuse you. You are a grown adult. You are supposed to look and see what the consequences of your actions are going to be. Steve Jobs brought this kind of sin into the American home. He gave us the opportunity to harass children and make them kill themselves. And
well, you're really indicting him now for these things.
While he did not do it directly, he is responsible.
He created something called the personal computer, or made it very, very possible, and now all of the sins that have been committed using that device on the World Wide Web, you lay directly at his feet.
If I don't do that, Phil, if I can't say Steve Jobs did a wonderful thing by creating the computer, but no, he has nothing to do with the sins that were committed, if I can't say that he does have something to do with it, then I'm being dishonest with myself, I'm being dishonest to God, I'm being dishonest to your audience, and I'm letting Steve Jobs off the hook when he should stand there like a man and take the punishment that the devil or whoever...
Well, now you've got him in hell.
No, I'm not going to make that prediction, but he needs to stand there and before God and take that judgment.
Well, now you've got Steve Jobs in hell.
No, not... I do not.
Well, you said the punishment that the devil is going to mete out.
I don't know who will mete out the punishment.
Well, is he in heaven?
I'm not God. But Steve Jobs is going to have to stand there and answer for the porn that has seeped into every nook and cranny of our society, that is in everyone's home, that every child can see, that every husband can see, that every broken-down marriage has been caused by, all kinds of depravity that now is at one's fingertips through the use of a credit card or a download. Steve Jobs did that.
And no, he didn't. No, he did not.
You don't get it, Phil.
Because a man creates something, then every sin that has been committed as the result of the creation of that device is his?
If you can show me a man that invented something that was not responsible for the sins of the people that used it, then I will agree with you. But you can't show me one.
I just mentioned... Well, all right, so the telephone...
The telephone was not invented by one person. Now,
what about Alexander Graham Bell?
No, Alexander Graham Bell developed a way of communicating by way of a wire. He did not develop the telephone.
Well, all right, let's take a break here. 877-876-PHIL. Who? Henry Ford didn't invent the car.
No, Henry Ford invented like assembly line.
All right, we'll be right back with David Castorini on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about Steve Jobs, and is he responsible for all the bad stuff that people have done with personal computers since he helped make them possible? It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We have on, and we welcome tonight, David Castorini from Castorini Youth Ministries, as we talk about the life and times of Steve Jobs. And I'm very disappointed, Pastor, to hear you talk the way you do, because there are so many people... obviously respected this man, and so many people used what Steve Jobs created for good. I mean, this is not a guy that, this is not a man that was out there creating bad things on his own. I recognize that what you're saying is true. A lot of people did things that, with the personal computer, that could be construed as very evil. There's no question about it. But to indict him, Steve Jobs, to me, seems very... It seems cavalier. It doesn't seem like it's very good reasoning or judgment.
Phil, I understand how... I think a lot of you, your listeners, would agree with you, and I understand how a secular person is going to approach this. I have to approach it differently, Phil. I have to approach it from the standpoint of God. The Internet is wonderful. The World Wide Web is wonderful. The personal computers are wonderful, but they are nothing compared, Phil, to the glory of God. And when a man like Steve Jobs creates something without any thought as to the evil that it is going to do.
And what about the good?
You keep bringing that up, but I'm telling you, you cannot separate from a man's actions only the good and say, this is what we will judge him by, and we will not judge him by the evil. God has judged Stephen Jobs by now. And I don't know what God said. You want me to tell you what God said? I don't know.
Is it possible that a man so loved... And
Phil, a lot of people love a lot of people. I'm not going to go to the Hitler analogy because it's not...
Well, that's not even close to a good analogy.
No, it is not. You're right. But I will tell you, Phil, that even evil people have their admirers. That doesn't mean anything.
No, but I mean, come on. Look, the Internet has afforded us the opportunity... I've often said the following thing. Tell me if this isn't true, then we'll get to some phone calls. Is it not true that the Internet is like having the world library in your home?
It's yes. And that means you also have access to a woman... to a woman urinating for the sexual pleasure of men, and children see that. To a woman... defecating.
Okay, all right. I understand.
Well, see, now you want to cut me off. You don't want to talk about the evil, only the good.
Let me take a phone call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Here is Sarah. Go ahead, Sarah. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Pastor Castorini.
Hi, I've got a question for you, Pastor.
Yes.
So you're comparing
yes.
him to Hitler, which is a horrible
no,
analogy.
No, I'm not. I said I'm not going to use that analogy. The analogy that I wanted to use was any person who is evil most likely has admirers.
But are you saying Steve Jobs, I don't mean to interrupt you, Sarah, but are you saying he's evil?
No, I'm not. I'm not saying he's evil. I just don't think how many admirers we have tells us anything about the person.
So would you blame... A gun company, for example, say Smith & Wesson, would you blame them for every gun death
no.
that's ever
no.
been committed
no.
at a gun?
No, I would not. I said to Phil earlier, one man invented what Steve Jobs invented. If you can point to the man that invented the gun, we could have a conversation. But
well, it's
we
not
can't.
Just him. There was a whole team of people that invented the Internet. I mean, you can't say that he's the only...
No. Steve Jobs didn't invent the Internet. No, he didn't invent the Internet.
Well,
we're
the
talking about what Steve Jobs did. The personal computer is what Steve Jobs... Without him, there would be no personal computer. So that's why I have to indict him.
Okay, now, so in other words, if there was a guy who invented the gun, that guy gets a pass.
No, he stands before God. He stands before God and God's judgment.
For every gun death ever?
All of the, because that man never took into consideration someone putting that barrel deep into their mouth and blowing the back of their head out. Yes.
Oh, come on.
Wow.
How can a man come up with something like that?
Oh, so in other words, what you and Sarah want to do is give a man all the glory, but he's not responsible for all the evil. No, not me. Not Dave Castorini. I don't go there.
He
I don't
can't be
down
responsible
that road.
For something that someone else did. I mean, it's their choice
point.
What
right,
they
Sarah.
Do with that weapon or that computer.
Right. We got to take a break. Sarah, thank you for your call. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil.
Not me.
Hendry.
No. No, David Castorini isn't going to walk down that garden path.
Radio. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. If you're watching Phil TV in HD, you can see that we're doing a little interactive tonight. We've got the scrolling video of Steve Jobs speaking, the many things that he helped develop, the storyline as it has been told on YouTube and other places is there on our website as well as we do our show tonight. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is David Castorini of Castorini Youth Ministries, talking quite frankly, David, and we were joking during the break, but you've gone so far as to speculate as to whether Stephen Jobs, where he is in the afterlife.
No, I don't think I have, Phil.
Well, did you not say he'd stand?
I said that he would stand before God and God's judgment because I'm not like Westboro Baptist, which, in my opinion, is a blaspheming, that is a terrible, terrible and blaspheming use of the Lord Jesus Christ, his great work, and his suffering and dying for us. I'm simply saying that a man has to take responsibility for what he does. Stephen Jobs should have seen the desire that the human race has to look at naked people having sex. Now, here is a guy who developed the personal computer, and he didn't see that someday people were going to be not using it to investigate the libraries of the world, as you have said, Phil, but to find the most demeaning copographical, which I don't know if you know what that is, but that's actually the eating of excrement for sexual pleasure. And
Whoa. I mean, are you telling me that, you know, you're going way out into some very extreme examples? Are you telling me all of this stuff is the fault, the knowing fault of Steve Jobs?
I'm saying, you know, God said, a tree is known by its fruit. A tree is known by its fruit. And some people can take that and say, are you talking about fruit in terms of a homosexual? No, I'm talking about what you create. All right? Steve Jobs and a man on all fours lapping up, well...
You're running a long way for that one.
I don't think I am, Phil.
No, you're running a long, long way for that one. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Joseph in Boise, Idaho. Joseph, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I've been a Christian for over 28 years, and I cannot believe the stuff that I'm listening to from a person that's supposed to be a man of a God. Jobs created an instrument that... He did not create the web service that was used for all the pornography. Henry Ford created an automobile. He didn't drive all the drunk drivers and put them in behind the car and kill people.
Well, Henry, Henry Ford did not invent the automobile. Henry Ford refined the invention of the automobile. He did not invent the automobile. And that's what I'm saying to you, Joseph.
He made the Ford, and the Ford car is what he designed. And if you put somebody that's drunk behind the wheel, he's responsible, not Henry Ford. And if a guy blows somebody's head off with a gun, the guy who pulled the trigger is at fault, not the gentleman who made the gun.
Who's the man that made the gun? No one. It was developed by the Chinese Army in conjunction with a great many people who use gunpowder and a bamboo. So there's not one man. There's not one man that invented the car. But there is one man who could have seen the filth that a man was going to immerse himself in by way of Steve Jobs' computer.
Wait a minute. I want to jump in here.
What's that?
All the good stuff. I mean, all the medical stuff that's going on totally outweighs any pornography that's on there. And that's, you're talking about the web. You're not talking about a computer.
I'm talking about the instrument that is used to access some of the most extreme filth that I've ever seen.
Don't go on the internet. You won't extreme it. I mean,
are you saying to me? Well, I want to ask you something. Are you telling me now? Are you saying to me now that because Steve Jobs gets all the benefit and we praise him, and some people, sir, are praising him almost as much as you praise Jesus, which I really I'm very uncomfortable with. But are you saying Steve Jobs gets all the praise and he gets no responsibility for these tapes of women who defecate? And
all right, do we have to, you know, why are you bringing up such vile examples?
I don't understand.
Because
he made
that's
a computer,
what people,
not the web.
He made the instrument by way.
The web. I mean, it's the car's fault for rolling. You didn't create.
No, you're really missing my point.
How are we missing your point? This gentleman and myself and others have said, you have something, and people take it, and they turn it into something. Let's take God. You want to talk about God? God said, I've created man, and I've created the earth, and I've created the animals, but really, the free will is man's. The free will is man's, and man does what he will. And so you say war, and all of the...
Are you blaming, if you're not going to blame God, people say that people cause wars, okay? Do people also cause the beauty of the sunrise? No, God does. So what are you talking about?
Huh? What are you talking about?
No. Well, go ahead and laugh if you want, sir. I
don't understand what you're thinking about. This is why people think Christians are out of their minds.
Oh, God. No, sir.
Lord Jesus is full of love, not pointing your finger and calling people what you're saying.
Jesus pointed to the Pharisees.
Watch people defecate and eat it when he made the personal computer. There wasn't even no such thing. You had to go to a bookstore, to a dirty film place to get that stuff. And I just don't understand how you put the two together.
Well, sir, I'm saying to you that when Steve Jobs knew that there were people out there that cruised toilets and wanted to tell his woman to say, but they wanted to eat what...
Oh, God, you know, I don't want to hear that again. Do you understand?
All right. But you see how this man is laughing? If we have war, do you blame God for war? Do you blame God for war, sir? No, you don't. Do you praise God for the polio cure, that was the vaccine? Do you praise God for that? Yes, you do. Why?
Yes, I do.
All right, but you do not praise man. By your reasoning, we should praise man, but we don't. We only praise God for the good. We blame man for the bad. I'm saying God wants us to take into consideration everything. If Steve Jobs is sitting scratching his chin and saying, I invent this computer, I will be able to look at more filth than ever before.
And Steve Jobs?
I have to assume that, yeah.
Steve Jobs invented the computer so he could look at porn.
I have to take that into consideration if I'm going to use the honesty that God has granted me. And that's what I'm saying.
But what about saving people's lives with it and bringing information to people?
He might have. He also thought about porn.
That was a lack of information because the Internet wasn't alive yet.
Why?
So how could you think about it?
Yes, of course it was alive. The Internet's been around since the 1950s.
No,
It was only used by the military. Yes, it was, Phil. Phil, do you know that?
Well, I know the internet was around before it became the phenomenon it is. It was used primarily by government and military.
Right.
But the point here, you're saying, and there's, you know, yeah, it was a totally different thing.
Well, you two guys, you fight amongst yourselves, okay?
No, I'm not fighting with Joseph. He agrees with me. Listen, sir, I appreciate it, Joseph. 877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-7445. So Steve Jobs is what we're talking about here with David Castorini. And we're talking what Mr. Castorini or Pastor Castorini is saying is that Steve Jobs has been praised too much, I think. And
I believe that Steve Jobs has done great things, Phil. I think that Steve Jobs has been praised by people who have almost deified him. They have almost turned him into a Christ-like figure.
In what way?
Well, I think that when we look at Steve Jobs and the death that he suffered, it's a terrible death, it's a painful death. Pancreatic cancer is a terribly painful way to die. But by the same token, we cannot separate ourselves from the reality that since Steve Jobs died in this very terrible manner, in this hellish manner, that was not God's punishment on him for inventing something.
Oh, God, that's in the days
following... Hold on. I want to finish what I'm saying here, Phil.
In the days following that man's death, to say that the pancreatic cancer that he had was the result of God's punishment.
I'm not finished. I'm saying that God gave Steve Jobs all of the marvelous reward of his invention. Steve Jobs, I'm sure, was a very wealthy man. But also because he invented a device that allowed people to access video of women and dogs. And
okay, you know what? You are bringing up things on purpose that are of such extreme pornographic nature.
No, I'm bringing up the reality, Phil.
Yeah, but you're using them in the same vein as Steve Jobs. I don't think it's right to say that this somehow, it's almost like you're saying he invented that stuff.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying he died.
And this idea that he died painfully is God's wrath is really wrong. Really wrong. You're the one who said that you can't judge God. You can't know God's judgment.
No, I cannot know God's judgment.
And you also said that you don't agree with the Westboro Baptist Church, that they are blasphemers.
I believe they are. Yes, I do.
All right. What's the difference between them and you saying that Steve Jobs' pancreatic cancer was God's judgment on him, and that he's going to have to answer for more in the afterlife because he invented a device that delivers this pornography?
It's not just pornography. That's why I'm bringing up dogs. You won't let me bring up the dog and donkeys. And
what do you need? I know what you mean.
All right, well, don't. You're getting very, Phil, your anger is more of a sin than anything I'm saying. And
so you're telling me that I'm a sinner, even though we're not going to, we don't know what God is saying.
And you're stumbling through your words.
In what way?
You just went God. You meant to say God, and you mixed him up with Steve Jobs. And so here we have Phil Henry, the host of a TV, of whatever you do, a radio show.
Yeah, I do a radio show. You're on my radio show.
I know that.
And whatever I do?
I know that you're on a radio show, but you compared Steve Jobs to God and went Jod. That is significant to me, Phil. I don't think Steve Jobs is a bad man. I think he's simply a man that God judged, and God decided to send this man into the afterlife. Well,
don't say it. Don't say it.
Well, Phil, I fear no man. I God is my protector.
Okay, that's fine, but don't be so disrespectful.
Phil, Steve Jobs was not Jesus Christ. Steve Jobs was a guy who got lucky.
Got lucky. So now the guy's lucky, on top of the fact that he's a sinner, on top of the fact that he is being judged by God, but he got lucky.
He got lucky. Well, he didn't get that lucky because God's got him now, and God's going to... And I guess you don't want me to bring up... Well, can I bring up the fact he's Jewish?
Okay, so, all right, so...
No, I knew you'd get upset.
No, I'm not upset. I just want to make... I want to be very clear with my listeners and you. He's Jewish. He invented something that accesses porn. Not just porn, but bestiality and the eating of excrement. And he also... I forget the other thing.
And the cancer.
Oh, yeah, the pancreatic cancer was God's judgment. Put him on hold, bud, will you please?
Yeah.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Youth Minister David Castorini on why Steve Jobs, hold the phone. There may be some things that God needs to judge Steve Jobs for. One of them, people accessing porn on the internet and other things. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Man.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we're going to be talking in the next hour with Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County about talk radio and the conservatism of talk radio and the disappointment that a lot of people have had in our show for not, quote, following the format. That ought to be an interesting conversation. David Castorini with us on Steve Jobs, and we have been very happy to show you interactively on Phil TV and HD as you listen to our show some of the moments in the life and times of Steve Jobs and Apple. We're showing right now him introducing the iPad, and another clip of him introducing the iPhone. It's been very edifying. With me, though, is a man who has said that Steve Jobs should be held accountable for the porn And you've even gone so far as to say the porn that involves the eating of excrement. And
I said, you asked me not to bring that up.
Well, I'm mentioning it now as an example.
I'm bringing up the most extreme examples of what Steve Jobs brought into our lives. He's a good man. Steve Jobs is a good man, but he brought into our lives a world that has confused us, has tempted us, and has caused a great many of us to be honest with you, a great many of us to virtually book our reservation for hell, if I can say something that silly. But that's what's happened. And Phil, you, with your website, allowing people to access some of the filth on your program, I think you're a wonderful guy, but you know what you've done. And
what I've done? What have I done?
You have a bit, I heard the bit, All You Can Eat Negro, where a man howls with laughter. Is that you?
Yes. That's a comic bit that has nothing to do with anything porn. Let me get to a phone call here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I'll talk about that in a moment with you if you want, Pastor. Here is James in Montgomery, Alabama. Hello, James. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Pastor David Castorini.
Yes, sir. How y'all doing today,
yes, sir.
Gentlemen?
Good.
I'm good, James. How are you?
Oh, fine, sir. Mr. Castorini, I'd like to make a statement, and then maybe just quote something to you and then give you a chance to respond, if that's fine.
That's certainly fine. Thank you.
Okay, sir. Well, first off, from the way I was raised and brought up, you know, judgment is God and God Almighty's alone. It's not my place to judge anybody. That's my statement. And if I could,
is this going to take time?
Would you, Dave, excuse me, Pastor Castorini, would you let the gentleman finish?
I just was going to ask, was it going to take very long?
That's for me to keep track of, not for you, Pastor. Go ahead, James. Sorry for the interruption.
Just like to say one more thing. In the book of Matthew, it says, judge not lest you have been judged. For what measure you judge, you'll be judged by that measure and one added to you. And why boast is about your brother having a splinter in his eye and you can't see the beam. You've got a beam in your own eye. It says, first, remove the beam from thine own eye and then go to your brother and say, here, brother, let me help you get the splinter out of your eye. That's how the book of Matthew, King James Version of the Bible. And that's all I got to say.
I didn't understand that, though. I didn't understand what you just read.
That's a very famous passage.
Hold on, Phil. Hold on, please. Could you say it again, what you just read? Because that does not comport with what I know from the Bible.
It says not to pass judgment upon other people. It says judge not lest you have been judged. For what measure you use to judge, you'll be judged.
Well, okay, right there. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that. You said judge not for what measure. It's slurred together. And
okay. Yeah.
Phil, excuse me, James. Phil, I'm going to ask you something. I say this with love in my heart. Would you shut up? Go ahead, James. What is it again?
Just judge not lest you have been judged. For what measure you judge, you'll be judged by that measure.
All right, I can't understand that. What measure judge?
You know something, Pastor?
I asked you to shut up.
You don't tell me to shut up on my show. The gentleman is reading. I understand him perfectly. What is the problem?
I didn't understand what he said. Is that a sin? Are you telling me now what a sin is? I'm the one that says what a sin is, not you. I'm not God, James, but...
James is basically saying something we all know from the Bible, which is, if you judge another man, make sure that the beam is cast from your own eye, meaning your own, the obstruction to your own vision and the obstruction to your own life. The same thing about, you know, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Isn't that what Jesus said?
Well, if I'm going to go along with that, and I do, Jesus said that. I don't know if he said that. If I'm going to go along with that, that means I'm going to stand there and watch a guy stick a knife in you, Phil, and take your money as he runs down the street, leaps into your car, hotwires it, and goes away. You know why? Because I can't judge him.
Oh, that's asinine.
Well, you don't know enough about religion. See?
Phil, you pretty much covered what I had to say, sir, and you did a lot better probably than I could have. But you gentlemen,
no, I think you did.
God bless. Take care.
Well, see, I'm confused.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate that very much, James. 877-876-PHIL.
The thing that I resent, Phil, is a lot of people, especially the southern preachers, go, well, bound day in the book. I didn't understand one thing that man said. And you tell me, if I see a guy stick a knife in your gut and then run away, hotwire your car, drive down the street, steal beer, and there's a few other things, I can't do nothing because I can't judge him. Let the beam be stuck up my...
Phil.
What's that?
It's the end of the hour.
The beam is stuck in my...